Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 17. In verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be as a shrub in the desert, and shall not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. This is talking about someone who doesn't know how to think. If I don't know how to think, then I will necessarily rely on self-oriented thinking, the tree of knowledge of good and evil experience. Because the only right thinking that really exists is thinking with the mind of Christ. Everything else is going to be skewed thinking. Self-oriented thinking is skewed thinking. The great need in the world right now is right thinking. Now, Friday, we started to talk about cognitive distortions. We're going to continue that topic a little bit today because it's really necessary for us to identify how to think correctly and then also to identify when we're not thinking correctly. One of the reasons why people continue in wrong thinking is because they fail to recognize that it's wrong thinking. And once that recognition takes place, they can make the necessary adjustments to enter into right thinking. So this is why we started with this topic of cognitive distortion. Now, one of those distortions is revealed here. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. That is to say, makes other people their portion rather than Christ. Have you ever been disappointed or frustrated with somebody? Have you ever said, oh, why aren't you doing it like this? This is what I was hoping for. What you don't realize as you're doing that is that in reality you've made that person your portion. Well, cursed are you when you do that, it says. You're going to enter into a curse. Why? Because that person is never meant to be your portion. I don't care if you're husband and wife. I don't care if you're mom and dad. I don't care if you're a son or a daughter. That person was never meant to be your portion. How do I know you made them your portion? Because you've become disappointed or frustrated. God never disappoints or frustrates. So if somebody does something and I'm disappointed or I'm frustrated or you're somehow aggravated by it, it's because you have made that person your portion. You've relied on something from that person that they have no ability to fulfill. And when you rely on it, God will make sure it doesn't come through. Because no one is meant to trust another person as their portion. Why do people have trust issues? Because they try to make somebody else their portion and somebody didn't come through for them in the way that they hoped or expected. The problem wasn't with the person who didn't come through. The problem was that you put your trust into the other person as your portion. The only portion you can have is Christ. That is it. That is the only one you can rely on. You cannot rely on another person, and if you try, God will make sure that you find out it doesn't work. It cannot work. They're not made that way, and either are you. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Now, that's talking about natural thinking instead of relying on the mind of Christ. If your strength is going to come in your natural evaluations, which means that you are necessarily living at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to enter into a curse. And the curse is that not only does it fail you, it's also going to mess up, distort your perceptions. That's where cognitive distortion comes from. It's going to distort your perceptions. You will not be able to see anything correctly. You will not be able to evaluate anything correctly. You will not be able to hear anything correctly. All of it is going to be skewed because you're working with a skewed source, an incorrect source for your thinking. You're working with a source that simply doesn't work. And then it says, whose heart, frame of reference, departs from the Lord. The fact that your frame of reference has departed from the Lord is why all your thinking is skewed. With the wrong frame of reference, you will be looking at things from a wrong perspective, which is going to give you the wrong perceptions. Self is always the wrong perspective. When self becomes the frame of reference, nothing is right. Because it has no ability to be right. Self is not truth. The word of God is truth in John 17:17. Self does not determine truth. It does not even know how to interpret truth. Self cannot receive the things of God and it cannot understand the things of God. And so people who rely on this enter into a curse. For he shall be like a shrub. And the word shrub actually means he will be destitute with no provision. He will be destitute with no provision in the desert. That means that there is no place of refreshing. There is no provision. There is no place of life there. It's simply a dry, parched land with nothing usable in it, with nothing good in it. And he shall not see the good when it comes. Now, this is telling us specifically what type of cognitive distortion is dealing with. He will not see the good when it comes. This is simple psychology. A person who does not see good when it comes has entered into a type of cognitive distortion called mental filtering. That's why they don't see the good when it comes. I'll get to that in a moment. They shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Salt has a nature that it eliminates water. Water in the Bible speaks of the Word of God. The Word of God is what refreshes us. So when they're in a salt land, that means they're in a place where there is no Word of God being received. It's not that the Word of God is not present. It's that the Word of God is actually removed from them. And there is no refreshment in it. It's in a place that is not inhabited, and that means that there is nothing that can endure this. I cannot endure not receiving the Word of God. Now, biologically, I can live, but the spirit within me will suffer profoundly. I cannot endure being in a situation where I'm removed from the Word of God, or I should say, where the Word of God is removed from me. What does this? Not seeing the good when it comes. Mental filtering. Mental filtering is a cognitive distortion, and it's very common. If you have ever overgeneralized an event, and then you created a narrative about the event, And then you said to yourself, this is going to happen again. No matter what happens, this is simply going to happen again. Then you are in cognitive distortion. If you ever said about yourself, this is the way I am, no matter what I do, and you may even give yourself an explanation of why, and I'm going to be like this again, you're into cognitive distortion. If you've ever said that about another person, this is the way you are, this is how you are, or why, or whatever narrative you want to give it, and then you say, you're just going to be that way again, you're into cognitive distortion. You're not thinking in truth. Cognitive distortion, as one of its definitions means, that your perceptions are not according to truth. Well, they really are that way. That may be your perception, but that's not truth. The perception is present because of the distortion. You probably actually have no idea what they're really like if you're in cognitive distortion. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:16, the Word of God says, we know no man after the flesh. It's not their flesh, it's our own. I don't use my natural thinking as the basis for my relationship with another person. If I do, the only thing that I will have for the basis of that relationship will be a distorted perception. That will not work. Cognitive distortions are very difficult things to deal with. Filtering is when you strain out anything positive and simply maintain the negatives. You don't see the fact that maybe the person is very godly. You don't see the fact that maybe you're very skilled. Only the negative aspects prevail in your thinking. And those negative aspects are what you tend to respond to. In a relationship, you may have somebody who's godly and loving, but human. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone who's not human? If the answer is no, then don't be surprised if this happens. You may be in a relationship, whatever the relationship is, it doesn't matter. It could be a marriage, it can be a friendship, it can be siblings, it can be any kind of business relationship, anything. Very godly person, but they're human. And the only thing you can focus on, the only thing you really respond to, the rest of the time you're just kind of running in neutral, but the only thing that actually elicits a response is something that you perceive as negative. That's where critical people become critical. Because they're living in filtering and they're ignoring the positives and they're focused on the negatives. And the negatives become what define the relationship. And then, if they enter into self-righteousness, they'll blame the other person. Because they're the ones with the negative traits. No, that's cognitive distortion. And the specific type is mental filtering. So when we enter into mental filtering, we get rid of the positives, we focus on the negatives, and we enter into things like anxiety or depression or moods or pessimism. You will never change. If you have ever said to or about somebody, you will never change, I've got news for you. God will not allow it until He's changed you using them. Don't you realize that all things are from God and they're for your sake? The fact that this person will never change, is God trying to change you? Nobody has the ability to change. But yet, in a cognitive distortion, you expect other people to be something other than what they are. Take that to the extreme and you enter the trans movement. Of course they won't change. Can a leopard change his spots? Of course they won't change. But cognitive distortion says they should change. Well, they don't have the ability. By the way, you don't have the ability to change either. That's why you're still in cognitive distortion. It takes God to do the changing. God will bring people that challenge you into your life when He's trying to change you. When He's trying to get you to learn the love of God. When He's trying to get you to learn how to be merciful and kind. When He's trying to deal with you. Not with them, with you. When mental filtering extends into relationships, you start to see loved ones through a negative lens and you damage your relationships. You become a critic of loved ones. Criticism in a relationship is very destructive. You ever meet somebody who criticizes people? Why do you think that is? They're in cognitive distortion. They're mentally filtering. They enter into criticism because you don't see the good. That is not the focus. Only the negative in your perception is the focus, when in reality, the person is much more than a detail. But you only see the detail. And that's what's being responded to, is the detail. Very often, that will destroy relationships. Marriages fall apart because of cognitive distortions, because of mental filtering. Friendships break because of mental filtering. People enter into these destructive patterns of behavior within a relationship. It stems with self-orientation and then goes through a whole gambit of self-righteousness, self-centeredness, and then self-pity. And then, of course, you're going to criticize. Of course, you're going to be negative. Of course, you're going to be frustrated and angry. Why? Because you're feeling sorry for yourself. You'll never admit it, but you're feeling sorry for yourself. And it's correct because of self-righteousness justified by self-pity. That is one fat, very difficult to get out of, cognitive distortion. The problem is, when you get into filtering, it's a really difficult cycle to escape because it's rooted in self-pity, which leads to more filtering. Once I'm in self-pity, I look for things to feel sorry about for myself. I look for offenses. Have you ever heard the term micro-offenses? It's becoming popular in today's culture. Well, they're into microaggressions and micro-offensive. No, you're into some serious self-pity through self-righteousness because you're self-oriented, made you self-centered, and now every little detail is an offense or an aggression or something like that, when in reality it's only in your skewed perceptions through cognitive distortion. You've got a mental illness and you're blaming other people for it. That's what's really going on with your microaggressions. You're looking for things to be offended with because it elevates your self-righteousness and it supports your self-pity. That's a brutally difficult thing to get out of. And most people never do, quite frankly. You can, most people never do. In verse 9 of Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Your little old self-pitying heart, with your little old filtrations, and your little old cognitive distortions, is unbelievably deceitful and wicked. Yet you rely on it because you've entered self-orientation. You're relying on those things which are unbelievably deceitful and wicked. Hence, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You are relying on something that is deceitful and wicked as the foundation of your thinking. But there is hope. If you realize, you have to realize this in order to deal with filtering. And filtering is a tree of knowledge frame of reference that's unable to perceive things as they correctly are according to truth. But when you realize that you're relying on a deceitful and wicked heart frame of reference, then you can start dealing with cognitive distortions like mental filtering. In James 3:11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Cognitive distortions have a source. But if you find them, out of a good conversation, let your works be revealed with the meekness of wisdom. Now, the key there is the word conversation. It's the word anastrophe. And when you dig down to the source of the meaning of this word, where this word really came from, you find that it means turning the mental conversation around to one that is beneficial and results in a good outward manifestation. You need to deal with your mental conversation. Everybody has a mental conversation. And that mental conversation will have an outward expression. A man speaks what his heart is full of. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What is the conversation that is going on in your mind? What are you meditating on? What are you thinking? What is it? What words are being said to yourself as you are mulling things over in your thought life? That's what you need to deal with. That's the source of mental distortion or any element of mental distortion like filtering. If you deal with that conversation, you deal with the distortion. In Jeremiah 17:12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Will you run to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16? At the throne of grace, I find a government. How is it that I enter into that government? In Romans 5:2, you enter it through faith. In Romans 10:17, you get faith through the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, it produces faith in you, it becomes your frame of reference, the foundation of your thinking. That is the practical bottom line definition of faith. You're thinking with the Word of God, you're thinking with the mind of Christ, and you enter into the throne of grace. In verse 7 of Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. This is the opposite of cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Well, Proverbs 3:5 tells us, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. do not lean on your own understanding. In Romans 1:17, our life is one manifestation of trust in God, followed by another manifestation of trust in God. You don't lean on your own understanding. That means if you're not leaning on your own understanding, you're trusting God. You're leaning on the understanding that is given by the Word of God through the leading of the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. That is a far cry, a very big difference than what people in cognitive distortion experience. Why do you think you're depressed all the time? Why do you think you're miserable all the time? Why do you think there's nothing positive that you can perceive all the time? Because you're entered into cognitive distortion, and the particular one that you're dealing with is mental filtering. You don't see the good when it comes. Your root is at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope, confident expectation, the Lord is. Well, how am I going to get confident expectation? In Romans 5:3-5, you're going to get it through trials. Well, shouldn't I get it by God showing me how much He loves me? Yeah, and that's going to happen in trials. Tribulation, trials, work patience. Patience works experience. Experience works hope, confident expectation, which works the love of God being revealed in your frame of reference. If I'm not trusting God, He's going to bring in a trial to give me the capacity to trust Him. Because when I see, because I've endured the trial, and often He puts you in trials where you have no option. You will endure this trial. There's no way out. You go right through it. And when you go right through it, you make up your mind, I'm going to go right through this. I'm going to look to the right, look to the left. I'm going to trust God. I'm going right through it. It's a breeze. It's the part where you start looking around and start whining and crying about it and saying, I don't like this, that you start having problems. Well, you trust in God, and you learn to do it in the trial. As the trial works endurance, patience, which is the entry point into the love of God, then you see God come through for you over and over. Now you have some experience. Once you have some experience, you don't just have hope, you have a confident expectation because you've seen it before. You see that God comes through for you. You see that God answers prayer. And when you have this confident expectation from God, you start to experience His love. You get through the trial and you say, wow, God was so kind to me. Well, you're blessed at that point. That's where God becomes your hope. In 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith is precious because that's where you get to know that you're loved. For He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, a far, far cry from a shrub in a desert. You're a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear the heat when it comes. Why? Because it always has a source of refreshment. It always has a source of nourishment. It always has a source to take care of it. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Now there's two things here. A green leaf and fruit. They're not the same. Leaves are structures that manufacture food in a real tree. Leaves produce sugars. That's what the photosynthesis process is all about. It's about sugar production. That sugar sustains the tree. So what it's talking about here When it says its leaf will be green, it will always have a source to energize it. It will always have a source to invigorate it. It will always have a source to take care of it. It will always have the ability and the strength for absolutely everything because you've trusted in the Lord. And that will make you fruitful. The second part of that. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love in Galatians 5:22. And then all the manifestations like joy and peace and hope and patience and temperance and all the other manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit will follow. Because you've gotten to the place where you have a source. In 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord your God in your heart. Set Him apart, not as a part of your life, but as your entire life. I've always said, if you tell me that God is a part of your life, I'm going to tell you you're in trouble. Because something else is also a part of your life. There's something in your life where He's not there. But if He is your life, there's nothing you can't overcome. If He's a part of your life, you will enter into cognitive distortions. If He is your life, they can't even touch you. Because there's no place for the devil when God is your life. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, that is to say, doctrine of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This is how you deal with mental filtering and other cognitive distortions. Any argument you may have in your mind, any thought you have that exalts itself against the Word of God, cast it down. Yes, that will require some mental discipline. Get some mental discipline. Cast it down. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Don't entertain, don't indulge, don't tolerate thinking that is not according to the Word of God in your mental conversation. Don't tolerate it. Don't indulge it. This has nothing to do with other people. This is strictly you. By the way, none of our problems have anything to do with other people. They are strictly us. What is your thought life? Therein you will find your solution. Therein you also find your problem. What is your thought life? Train yourself to replace negative thinking with doctrinal thinking. And when you do that, it trains your brain to recognize the good when it comes. And then also, if something like a cognitive distortion tries to work its way in, you'll know it immediately. It's like law enforcement when they learn to recognize counterfeit money. They don't study counterfeit money. They study the real thing. They know the real thing inside and out. In every little nuance and detail, they know what the real thing looks like. And when they know what the real thing looks like, they can identify the fake. Well, it's like that in our thinking. When I know what real thinking is, when I know how to think with the Word of God, I will recognize the fake. And by the way, when that happens, you won't just recognize the fake in yourself. You'll recognize the fake if you encounter it. Some people are thrown off by the wrong thinking and the wrong expectations or demands of other people. The ones who know how to think, they might be kind to them, they might not say anything, they might be patient toward them, but they will not yield to that. It's bad enough to yield to my own cognitive distortion, it's much worse to yield to somebody else's. Right thinking will allow you to recognize wrong thinking. So train yourself into right thinking. And when that right thinking is present, it will be revealed in your expression. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and you are upon the earth, therefore let your words be few. That's not just talking about speaking to people, it does include that. But we're really dealing with a mental conversation here. In your mental conversation, don't allow much that comes from you. Because God is in heaven and you're on the earth. Your negative viewpoint, your negative perception is not according to truth. So let your mental words be few, and let the Holy Spirit instead do the talking to you. And then you will know what truth is. In Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, that is to say, John 17:17, according to the Word of God, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, by the way, pure means not influenced by corruption, whether it's your own or demonic corruption. Whatever is lovely, according to the love of God, whatever is of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. Don't filter those things out. Focus on them. And then you will have right thinking. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.